Welcome to 45 Left or Right Podcast. This will be episode 19, and I'm going to talk about wedding anniversaries because Jeff and I celebrated our 22nd wedding anniversary on Sunday, September 1st. Wait, yeah. And I have Jeff with me here right now.
Hi.
We're sitting at our kitchen table and hoping everyone in the house stays asleep or quiet.
That includes you, Luna.
Especially our puppy who just did a lot of swimming and I don't think she's going to be waking up anytime soon. But instead of telling, you know, lots of romantic stories about how we met and all of that, we are going to tell our most notorious story, which, yeah, notorious.
Notorious. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Infamous. And let me set the stage.
Please.
It was May 31st, 2002. We did the math. Yeah. And which was Jeff's birthday. And we had just come back from kind of a disastrous camping trip in northern Alabama. And we decided we needed to redeem the weekend and have an exciting birthday for Jeff. So we decided to go flying. And tell me, Jeff, what? Why did we decide to do that?
I was very excited. That was my 24th birthday. I had just gotten my private pilot's license out of Enterprise, Alabama. And I knew I had spoken with my flight instructor and we had gotten the plane. And I wanted to take Therese up in the air for the in a fixed wing in an airplane with me flying for the first time.
Yes. And we thought it would be really fun because I knew the area really well and you knew the area really well. And it was the perfect day for flying.
It was it was a Sunday.
A Sunday.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So there was no, there was very little air traffic. Not that we have to worry too much about that, but
right.
You know, and so we went over to the Enterprise Airport and this was a Cessna 150.
Death trap.
Which is a very small, tiny plane.
We were thigh to thigh.
But it was fine. I mean, Therese mentions thigh to thigh. I mean, you're a little helicopter, you know.
We weren't thigh to thigh.
Well, I never experienced it. But it was great. So we took off out of Enterprise and I had, you know, there are a couple of airports nearby that I wanted to go to. And, you know, just sightseeing.
It was beautiful.
It was nice.
Blue skies, not a lot of favorable wind, I would say.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Very relaxing. And mm-hmm. then I could, you know, just talk about, well, you know, as a pilot, I look out ahead and looking around and, you know, very different mentality from a helicopter pilot. But that's a whole nother story. But, you know, so we made our way up to, I forget,
Andalusia.
Which airports we hit before then?
Oh, I know we hit Troy. I can't remember, honestly.
But yes, the one that, you know, all I wanted to do was a touch and go. I lined it up to the runway and landed. And as soon as the wheels, it was a nice landing. As soon as the wheels hit, I full throttle and took back off. And I was like, all right, this is great. Andalusia, you know, that's. And then at about 1,500 feet, the engine started sputtering a little bit. And then it kind of fell down to an idle.
It got quiet.
It got very quiet. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I said to Jeff, okay, that's funny. Turn the engine back on. Because in flight school, they will turn it to idle to test you to see if you're paying attention. But also, like, you know, the emergency procedure. So I just thought Jeff was being funny. Now, knowing you now, I know you would never do that. But at the time, I'm like, ha ha, turn it back on.
We weren't even married for a year by that.
Right.
You didn't know me that well.
I didn't compared to now.
But so I thought, okay, well, maybe something's just out of sorts. And so I pulled the throttle back and I pushed it in again. Okay, well, maybe it's a weird little mixture thing. No, try that. And I pretty quickly came to the conclusion, like, no, we're not going to get an engine back.
Yeah.
So again, this happened at about 1500 feet above the ground.
I thought it was even lower than
it might. Well, that might have been 1500 feet in elevation.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I forget what the altitude is of the ground there.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, I quickly came to that conclusion. I said, all right, and the key thing in an airplane, if the engine dies, is you have to maintain speed. That is the most important thing. Got to point the nose down. If you try to maintain level flight, eventually you're going to slow down to the point where you'll stall, and then you're going to go
plummet.
You're going to go down real fast and be out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, point the nose down. We got to, slowly decrease in altitude. And I looked out ahead and I was like, okay, there's a field out there. It's a little ways out. That's what I'm shooting for. That's what I think we're going to hit. Now, bear in mind that the field was there, but well before the field, there was a lot of trees and, we had a tree line and some other stuff. But I think, all right, that's what we're going to do. The other option, technically, if that looked bad, I guess we could have tried to land on a road.
But, no, that's all roads have wires.
Yeah, yeah. I really didn't want that.
But I remember this is where this is just an interesting difference of perspective. You thought, oh yeah, we can make that field way out. And I was like, no flipping way, because in a helicopter, I was looking straight down as to we're going to land straight down there because we plop, we plummet. There's no gliding. And I was like, you're nuts. We're not going to make it. I mean, there's no way, And you were confident.
I said, no. The plane wants to fly. Mm-hmm. It wants to glide. We just have to keep speed. So we got to, point the nose down a little bit. We got to descend slowly, fast enough to where we keep speed. But, we can do it.
We can do it.
And as we got a little bit closer and a little bit closer, I was a little nervous because I like, okay, mm-hmm. We got to get over the trees. And as soon as
presenting this like you were super confident, and I don't exactly remember it that way. Now, I know you had confidence in your abilities, but the whole way down, as you were doing what you needed to be doing, you were like, shit, shit, fuck, fuck, shit, shit, fuck, fuck. So let's not,
I may have said a few words, expressing my dissatisfaction with the scenario the situation. And,
knew what to do.
I was nervous. I will say that.
Me too. Thought we were going to die, honestly.
Because I looked out ahead and I picked out my point mm-hmm. of where I wanted to land, but. It's
a little dicey.
I'd just gotten my license and I can't say that I was necessarily a pro at gauging.
Right.
All right. How far are we actually going to be able to make this?
Yeah.
So I was nervous. I picked it out, but
we get to the tree line,
but we made it, slowly descending. And I knew, on the plane, if I can use the flaps to help provide a little more lift. And that's what I wanted to do. And that's great. But the problem is the flaps slows you down. And so I did not want to put any flaps down until we made it over that tree line. And so that's what I was thinking in my head. I was looking, maintaining speed, there's the tree line. There's the field that we're going to try to land in. And as soon as we crossed over that tree line, and I remember I pushed full flaps all the way down. I mean, the engine was already dead. But
I was done.
I just, out of habit, pulled the throttle back.
Right. it was already
just fluttering.
Yeah.
And then we slowed it down, and I was able to miraculously
break in time to see the berm that we saw in the middle of the field.
Well, yes. I miraculously put it down.
Oh, you did.
And I had to do what we learned in flight school was called a soft field or short field landing. Both.
They were both.
Yes. And so, I mean, there's
soft
a little,
and short.
The scenario sort of, it was both. But I wanted to get it down as soon as I touched ground, hit the brakes, and then, we noticed
there was a big berm in the middle of it that you couldn't see from up above. And Jeff was like, but we made it.
Now, what's funny, this was in 2002.
Yep.
We carried cell phones.
Oh, ours were dead.
Our batteries were not sufficient. You know, they were dead. We needed anything.
Because we don't think about those things. One, you have a radio, but I think we got off, declared an emergency, or I don't remember the word, but nobody was flying, so nobody heard us on the Unicom. Yeah. But yeah, you just didn't think about having your cell phone. It just wasn't like, I would never go flying now without a full battery on my cell phone. But yeah, both of our little flip phones were totally dead.
Yep.
So that's bad.
That was bad. So, but we made it, you know, my heart, when we opened the door, my heart was pounding at, you know, it seemed like 1,000 beats a minute.
Yeah. I think about this whole thing, finally getting down and like the adrenaline rushing, and you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what just happened? You know? Yeah.
And our only option, you know, we were down too low. We couldn't radio anything.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no one to radio out there. Cell phone's dead. So we got out, we looked around, and we said, well, I see a house out there in the distance. Let's start walking.
Yes, we walked to, I don't even know how far it was. I'm sure we needed to decompress, so it was okay. But we walk up to this house, and this man opens the door with a wife beater. And I think he was missing almost this entire front row of teeth. And his wife, and they were very nice, but the embodiment of an Alabama stereotype. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
And they
were very cordial, invited us in. And they were like, I think we saw the phone.
I'm not going to do an Alabama accent, but, you know, we thought we saw a plane coming down or flying really low. We were like, yeah, that was us. So anyway.
But, you know, and they let us in, let us use the phone.
They were so nice.
Call. And, you know, they had on their TV that was a deer hunting show.
Yes. I had no idea until then that was a thing, that they had shows about deer hunting. But they offered, we have some food. Do you want some food? I mean, they were so nice. But we didn't really have anyone to call. I don't even know how we knew a number.
I think you had to call your, my instructor, I had his number and I let him know, but he couldn't, his wife was in bad shape.
Yeah.
And so he couldn't come out there to pick us up.
Right. I had to call a few people.
Yeah.
I just don't even know, since our phones were dead, how I had the number. Was that when you memorized numbers?
I don't remember.
So my friend Jason came out and picked us up. He is delightful. Jason McCoy, I'm sending this to him. And we found out later we actually landed in a landfill, or it was used to be a landfill or something. It wasn't active with trash, but we figured that out. And, you know, Jeff's instructor was still going to charge him for the plane. And his wife was like, no, you are not. You're not charging him for the plane that, what ended up being the issue? Magnetos or something?
Yeah, a magneto blew in the engine. And he had a repairman come out there, fix it up, and they were able to take off out of that landfill.
Amazing.
And get it back to the airport miraculously. I don't know how they managed that, but yeah, it was
exactly.
That was pretty amazing.
Well, I must say, Jeff and I at the time, we've been married for less than a year. We had known each other for 6 years or 5 years before then. And I definitely knew you to be a calm person, but this was like, I was like, wow, he really is calm. Well, as much as I joke about your cursing, you knew what to do and you did it. You didn't panic. I mean, you didn't outwardly panic.
I panicked.
But it didn't stop you from doing what you needed to do. There was not one dent on that airplane from that landing.
Yeah, we did no damage.
Yeah. I cannot say that I could do the same with the helicopter. I'm not sure. It's different. You're not comparing the same. But anyway, it was a very interesting way to start our marriage. Don't you think?
We like I said, we weren't even married for a year. And
yeah,
that was just an experience that I know I'll never forget.
Oh, no. Me neither. But it was such a funny thing having that difference in how we thought, because you were like, oh, no, it's way over there. And I'm like, no, disaster is imminent. You know, we're going, what are you doing? But eventually I must have shut up and just let you do your thing, you know.
And it was good. Just before I had gotten my license, I'd gone up with my instructor. And that was one of the things he had kind of reinforced about, all right, you know, wherever you are up in the air, always in the back of your head, have a location, you know, or a spot. If something were to happen, where would you go?
Just
sort of in the back of your head. And,
yeah.
And that was... very,
you used it.
Yes, very applicable there.
That's how they teach us too in the Army, and I'm sure any helicopter school is always, especially if you fly a single engine, which I ended up doing, you want the best, you expect the best, but prepare for the worst. Is that the term? You know, always look for fields or somewhere to land, because you just never know when you're out for a Sunday flight and you're showing your gal around. And there goes your engine. But I'm grateful that you got us down. And I'm even more grateful that you have stuck with me for 22 whole years. Are you crazy?
I say the same thing. I'm glad you've stayed with me for this.
It's been pretty easy. Not all of our adventures, but staying with you. We've had some, but we're not going to spoil it for everyone. But thank you for being on my show, my sweet.
Of course. Of course.
All right, let's go do something fun. Welcome back to 45 Left to Right Podcast. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Jeff and enjoyed our little story about our aircraft mishap in the first year of our marriage. I do not recommend it, but I am glad we came out of it. And I'm glad that, honestly, Jeff had the controls, because he obviously did a really good job. So I'm going to shift here to some research about marriage and how it became a thing, and then later about wedding anniversaries and how they are celebrated across the world and why, because not everybody celebrates. The first article is from The Week, and it's called The Origins of Marriage, and it was published January 8th. 2015, which is a while ago, but honestly, the history of marriage hasn't really changed. In the beginning, the idea of marriage was basically to bind women to men. It guaranteed that a man's children were biologically his
and his heirs. So a woman became a man's property because her entire purpose in life was to have children and take care of children so that the man had someone to pass off, I guess, his genes to. Very important back then. The first recorded evidence of marriage ceremonies that we know of dates from 2350 BC in Mesopotamia. And I want to note, a lot of history like this is taken from a Western culture kind of thing. And obviously, not all history is from the Western culture. So I don't know whether it is just that we publish it more, that we haven't found or looked for evidence in other places, but this is what I could find. But I just want to note that there's history from other places that we just haven't found or propagated yet. All right, so the first recorded evidence was from 2300 or 2350 in BC, and then later it became a widespread institution that was adopted by the Hebrews, Greeks, and Romans. The Hebrews, and you will see this in the first part of the Bible, the Hebrews were free to marry several wives. They had, and then the Greeks and Romans also could satisfy their sexual urges with concubines, prostitutes, and even teenage male lovers. It's biblical. Wives were required to stay home and tend to the household, of course. And if wives could not produce children, their husbands could abandon them and marry someone else. Now, I love that the assumption was always that the woman was the problem, because we all know that it's possible for a man not to be able to have children, but it was always the woman's fault. And then they could just be left out on their own. Because remember, it's not like they could have a job and make money. So all of this, all of these marriage, the idea of marriage was not tied to religion or any religious institutions. It was a property transaction. But then the Roman Catholic Church rose and they made it so a marriage could not be recognized until it was blessed by a priest, which almost 100% sure required payment. It is a way they could make money, basically, because by the 8th century, marriage became a sacrament in the Roman Catholic Church to bestow God's grace. Now, it's assumed in the Bible that marriage was first mentioned when Adam and Eve became one. That is the sort of first somewhat mention, without mentioning the word marriage, of marriage in the Bible. And it's believed that Moses wrote the book of Genesis somewhere between 1400 BCE and 400 BCE, which is a large range, but there is a very large and significant scholarly debate about this. And honestly, it's above my head, and I don't have the time to really get into it. Now, once the Roman Catholic Church got involved and made it so marriage had to be a blessing, it was actually good for wives because there was an emphasis that men had to remain sexually faithful to their wives. Now, wives were still supposed to submit to their husbands, so it wasn't an equal relationship, but at least the men weren't off, cheating on them. Romantic love wasn't really a thing until the Middle Ages, and then scholars, even though this was debated, scholars believe that the French invented it, of course, right? Because the French are considered romantic and Paris is the city of love and all of that. But it is debated. The concept of romantic love actually gave women more power in what was, you know, really still considered a transaction. There's 12th century literature that advised men to start wooing women by praising their hair, lips, and eyes. And I do not know the history behind the Song of Solomon and in the Bible and when it was written and why, but it's a little scandalous if you read it, but it is a lot about praising a woman's features and certainly has an air of seducing the woman. So so obviously that was before the 12th century. So anyway, if you want to look into that, let me know what you find out. Now, the tradition, there's a lot of traditions in a marriage or in a wedding ceremony these days that still go back to a woman being property. And one of those is the tradition of a woman taking a man's name. I was going to keep my maiden name. I was still going to be Therese Danielle Bowden because I had been that name for 23, 24 years. It's the name my parents gave me and I liked it. And I didn't understand why I had to take his name and honestly, why he didn't take, you know, wasn't expected to take my name. And then hyphenating even now is considered odd. I don't think it is, but, you know, largely considered odd. And so I was going to keep my name. And I actually, Jeff moved from New Jersey. He had a really good job and he moved to Alabama where there were not a lot of job prospects to be with me when I was in flight school. And I felt like since he was making this big move to follow me, the least I could do is take his name. So obviously he had just moved in and I came downstairs in my uniform and made sure he saw that on my name tape, it did not say Bowden, it said Smith. And he really liked that. He was touched. And so I am glad I changed my name, but it actually kind of dates back to when the first colonists came over and they called it coverture. And the idea was that the bride was giving up her identity and the husband was the public representation of the two of them. He would make decisions for them as a couple and, you know, vote for both of them as a couple. And so it even became if a woman left the man during that time, she lost her citizenship because he was the one with the citizenship, not him. And, you know, that was kind of, I don't know, I had no idea that that's what it was for. Now, it changed for women in 1920 when women won the right to vote, yay, and could represent themselves. I did not know that. I think I thought, okay, women have the right to vote. That means they can go and cast a vote, but it meant much more. You know, recognize women as individuals and they can represent themselves and not just their husbands. Welcome back to 45 Left to Right Podcast. So this part, I just want to talk about wedding anniversaries and when and how we first started celebrating wedding anniversaries as a whole, as a humankind. Now, I really cannot tell you how Jeff and I have celebrated each wedding anniversary, especially the ones before we had Devin. And I know that sounds bad, but, and I know we try to do something fun when, you know, when our wedding anniversary comes through, but I just can't remember specific things, but I do remember every year we really just recount the milestones in our marriage, you know, like how we first met, how we, you know, early on when we were 19, we talked about how we would live and how many children we would have, all of that. And we don't honestly talk about the low points specifically, but we kind of say, well, it's been up and down. But we always thank each other for sticking around. And honestly, I'm still amazed that he has stuck around because I've put him through some things, but I'm really grateful for him every day, even when I am mad at him. And I'm pretty sure he feels the same way about me. All right. So the history of wedding anniversaries, it basically became a thing in Central Europe during the Middle Ages. Middle Ages, a lot of things happened. And the giving of certain gifts, you know, you probably heard year one is paper and that sort of thing. It came from the belief that certain gifts bring good luck. And during the Victorian era, also a very important time where we, I think, picked up a lot of our traditions in general. During that time, giving gifts for anniversary became more common. And that list of gifts that you're supposed to give per year actually appeared around 1910, kind of between 1910 and 1920. And it was actually created by the American Retail Jewelers Association, which is still around. They published the complete list from year one to year 60. They published this list in 1937, and that sort of became the standard, at least closer to back then. Now, I don't know if people really stick to that, but it is kind of interesting. It came from a commercial association representing people who could benefit from having a list like this. It's sort of like, I don't even know if this is true, but some people say, oh, Hallmark invented these holidays, certain holiday like Valentine's Day, so they could sell cards. I don't know if that's true, but it's a similar idea. So I just wanted to give you some years that are particularly interesting. So like I mentioned before, first anniversary is paper. You know, I'm assuming it's that means kind of a card. And I don't know if everyone does this, but there is a tradition that you're supposed to eat a piece of your wedding cake. Like you take a piece of your wedding cake on your wedding day and you freeze it. We did that. And I can say it wasn't very good, but we did it. The third anniversary is leather, which could be rather kinky. Fourth anniversary is fruit or flowers. I think a lot of us get stuck here. It's easy to give flowers for an anniversary and, you know, fruit basket or whatever. The sixth anniversary is candy or iron, which are two very different things. And this is what we do. Jeff usually gets me some candy, kind of whatever I'm craving at the moment. This year, he got me these little twin snakes gummies that I love and some Skittles. And then he loves hot tamales. So I always get him hot tamales. I think if I didn't get him that, he would be disappointed. The 16th anniversary is wax or silverware. So does a bikini wax count as the gift? Or, maybe some Yankee candles? I don't know what else that could be. And there are several anniversaries that are like a theme. I think they maybe ran out of ideas or just thought, let's let them be creative. 21st is fire. I don't know what kind of gift you could get for fire. Hopefully not, you're not mad at them and you burn something. And the 22nd is water. So, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I would say take me to Hawaii where there's water, but, you know. 29th is tools. Seems like, you know, maybe there's some home improvement coming in. Oh, and speaking of, the 48th is home improvement. So for your 48th anniversary, we're going to renovate the kitchen. 53rd is plastic. Now, if we have lasted 53 years, I better get something that is not plastic. And then the 60th is diamonds. So maybe I'll get some more diamonds by then on our 60th anniversary. We will only be 84. All right. So I thought those were kind of fun. Now, outside of Western culture in Japan, couples exchange gifts similar to what we do in Western countries. But their exchanging of gifts started with Emperor Meiji, who had a silver wedding anniversary in 1894. In China, one very important wedding anniversary is a jade wedding, and jade symbolizes purity, morality, and harmony. And now Denmark has some different ways of celebrating wedding anniversaries. The 25th and 50th anniversaries are celebrated with flowers and an evergreen bow, but other people give the honorees, those celebrating a wedding anniversary, other people give them that. And then sometimes they are honored with a musical serenade. And for a couple's copper anniversary, well-wishers wake up the couple around 6:30 a.m. Let me sleep in. So this year we celebrated our 22nd wedding anniversary. And so we have some experience. And this was the conversation that we had, which, by the way, was at Devin's soccer practice. We have an anniversary coming up. Oh, right. On Sunday? Sheesh. 22 years. Well, what do you want to do? Go out to dinner? Go somewhere? Do we take Devin or not? Nah, he's on his own. Thank goodness he's old enough to stay home for a little bit on his way. So Jeff actually had looked up some places before we had this conversation, and he suggested a place that honestly I thought looked like a strip club, and I mocked it. But again, we were talking about it at Devin's soccer practice, so I didn't really get a good look at the website. There was a lot of like red leather seating in there, and it was kind of dark. So I thought, this looks like a strip club. I don't want to go here for our anniversary. But I thought about it later and I thought that was kind of rude. And I looked at it again and I said, all right, let's do it. And it was really good. I had lamb chops and the seats, that the red leather seating was so comfortable that we actually came home and right away we looked on Wayfair to see if they had some like it for our kitchen table. Because our kitchen table, I hate the chairs. And honestly, we have dinner and I just want to get out of the seat. So I would love to have that. But let me tell you something, they don't really have it. So we didn't really do much beyond go out to eat, but it was it was fine. We had a nice time. Devin loved being home by himself at night. And, you know, I still want to spend my 23rd year of marriage with Jeff. And it's funny, we thought by having our wedding on Labor Day weekend that we would always have this long weekend for our to celebrate our wedding anniversary. Like maybe we could go somewhere every year. But what we didn't think about is that our children would also have that weekend off. So it's not like we could go jet setting every Labor Day weekend. But it's okay. We have a really wonderful life. And again, I can't imagine spending it with anyone else than Jeff. Thank you for listening to 45 Left to Right podcast. If you are enjoying this podcast, please share it with your friends, family, acquaintances, anyone off the street. I am on Facebook and Instagram mostly, and I have a new website where I share additional insider info about the episodes. I'm going to post some pictures from our wedding later, and hope you enjoy. And then you can leave comments as well, and I'll respond. So the website is 45leftorrightpodcast.com. And if you are celebrating a wedding anniversary, I wish you the best and hope you enjoyed this. And bye for now.